Right, we're going to hear from God's word now. We're going to hear the account of how God created this world.
In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth.
The earth was formless and empty, and darkness covered the deep waters. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters.
Then God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God saw that the light was good. Then he separated the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness night. And evening passed, and morning came, marking the first day.
Then God said, "Let there be a space between the waters to separate the waters of the heavens from the waters of the earth." And that is what happened. God made this space to separate the waters of the earth from the waters of the heavens. God called the space sky. And evening passed and morning came, marking the second day.
Then God said, "Let the waters beneath the sky flow together into one place, so dry ground may appear." And that is what happened. God called the dry ground land, and the waters seas. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let the land sprout with vegetation, every sort of seed-bearing plant, and trees that grow seed-bearing fruit. These seeds will then produce the kind of plants and trees from which they came." And that is what happened. The land produced vegetation and all sorts of seed-bearing plants and trees with seed-bearing fruit. Their seeds produced plants and trees of the same kind. And God saw that it was good. And the evening passed and the morning came, marking the third day.
Then God said, "Let lights appear in the sky to separate day from night. Let them be signs to mark the seasons, days, and years. Let these lights in the sky shine down on the earth." And that is what happened. God made two great lights, the larger one to govern the day and the smaller one to govern the night. He also made the stars. God set these lights in the sky to light the earth, to govern the day and night, and to separate the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And evening passed, and morning came, marking the fourth day.
Then God said, "Let the waters swarm with fish and other life. Let the skies be filled with birds of every kind." So God created great sea creatures and every living thing that scurries and swarms in the waters, and every sort of bird, each producing offspring of the same kind. And God saw that it was good. Then God blessed them, saying, "Be fruitful and multiply. Let the fish fill the seas, and let the birds multiply on the earth." And the evening passed, and morning came, marking the fifth day.
Then God said, "Let the earth produce every sort of animal, each producing offspring of the same kind, livestock, small animals that scurry along the ground, and wild animals." And that is what happened. God made all sorts of wild animals, livestock and small animals, each able to produce offspring of the same kind. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let us make human beings in our image, to be like us. They will reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, the livestock, all the wild animals on the earth, and the small animals that scurry along the ground." So God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them and said, "Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and govern it. Reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, and all the animals that scurry along the ground. Then God said, look, I've given you every seed-bearing plant throughout the earth and all the fruit trees for your food. And I've given you every green plant as food for the wild animals, the birds in the sky and the small animals that scurry along the ground, everything that has life. And that is what happened. Then God looked over all he'd made, and he saw that it was very good. And evening passed, and morning came, marking the sixth day.
So the creation of the heavens and the earth and everything in them was completed. On the seventh day, God had finished his work of creation, so he rested from all his work. And God blessed the seventh day and declared it holy, because it was the day when he rested from all his work of creation. This is the account of the creation of the heavens and the earth, when the Lord God made the earth and the heavens.
Right, that's the second time we've looked at this passage on a Sunday this year, but I want to come at it from a different place today. We've been thinking on Wednesday evenings about our heart being set on fire, and we were thinking on Wednesday about the way that God is present in all of his creation, and how easy it is for us to miss the things that God is saying to us. I came across this wonderful quote that I mentioned on Wednesday night. It said, "Earth is crammed with heaven, and every common bush afire with God. But only those who see take off their shoes. The rest sit around it and pluck blackberries." When God made this earth, when God created, he didn't just wind it up and leave it. Forgive the theological word, but there is a word called deism, which describes that sort of belief. So the idea that God created the world, put all the laws of science into being, and then kind of walked away from it, and that he might occasionally intervene, but most of the time he doesn't. That is not what Christians believe. We are not deists. We are people who believe that God is intimately involved with his world all the time. God is present within his world in everything. Now, I don't know about you, but I have discovered sometimes that I sense the presence of God in the most unlikely places. Think of being at somebody's bedside when they were dying. And you could look on it and say, how sad, what a tragedy. And yet the presence of God in that place was just so powerful, I didn't want to leave. And not saying that's normal experience, but it's saying to us, wherever you are, God is there. Maybe the things that stop you or stop us from seeing God are a lot less than we think. Maybe the veil that seems to be between us and God sometimes is a lot thinner than we actually think it is. The church always lives in danger of thinking of God as being distant from us, God being remote from us. But that story that we begin, it sounds great. You know, God creates the world and then God rests. But really, in one sense, the Bible reading today should not have been Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 to 2, 4. It should have been the whole of the Bible, showing us again and again God involved with his people. And we have been learning again recently that this creation that God has made is very fragile. For some, the whole thing around the coronavirus has made us realize we are mortal. One day we are going to die. And who knows what the coronavirus is going to be? Who knows whether it will be a short-lived thing with a few tragedies or whether it will go on longer? Who knows? I don't know. You don't know. But what I do know is that God is present in everything. When we sang that hymn at the beginning of our service today, where it speaks about kind and gentle death waiting to hush our fading breath. Oh, praise him, hallelujah. God is present there. If you want to see that, take a look at the story of Jesus. Take a look at Jesus dying upon that cross, the unjust death, the death of physical agony. And the Bible tells us that God was in Christ. God was present at that moment. Jesus was not separated from God. God was there. And God is there in every moment of our being and in everything that we see and everything we understand and everything that we don't. He is there. So the story of Genesis goes on to describe God walking around in a garden with Adam and Eve. And yes, it goes wrong, but even when it goes wrong, God sticks with it and he keeps working with them. Christian worship is worship to a creator. We are very grateful for all the advances of modern science and the things that they have told us about how this world came to be. But ultimately behind it, we recognize God. And the worship that there is in the Bible keeps saying, God is your creator. He is your maker. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our maker. All the earth worships you and sings praises to you. They sing praises to your name. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it. Before the mountains were brought forth, or you had formed the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. Now, as we go into other places of the Bible, other than the Psalms, yours, Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in heaven and on earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord. You are exalted as head over all. You are the Lord, you alone. You made heaven, the heaven of heavens, with all their hosts, the earth and all that is on it, the seas and all that is in them. And you preserve all of them, and the host of heaven worships you. And when the early church started to announce the good news of Jesus, the message that they took to the world was that people should turn to the God who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything that is in them. We come and we sing songs, and we sang that children's song earlier, If I Were a Butterfly. I think a lot of you like singing that song today. Oh, good song. How amazing it is that this God who is all-powerful, who has created everything, can delight in us when we're singing a song like that. All-powerful. And yet lowly, yet humble, yet dwelling amongst his people. The cry from Revelation, the last book of the Bible, you are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will, they existed and were created. God is creator, but God's word in Scripture takes it further than that. It's not just that God created the world. It's that God is filling the world. The whole world is full of God. And if at times it seems that things in this world are not full of God, the promise is that they will be. And God is working to make that happen. As I live, all the earth will be filled with the glory of the Lord. From the Psalms, may the whole earth be filled with his glory. When Isaiah goes into the temple and he's worshiping, he has this experience. And the message is not, God is in the temple. The message is, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And Isaiah looked forward to the day when the earth will be full of the knowledge of God, just as the waters covers the sea, in the same way that the sea is covered with water. So everybody on this earth is going to know God. From the Psalms, the earth is full of the loving kindness of God. The prophet Habakkuk, for the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. I think it's worth reading out these verses just to show us what a major thing this is in Scripture. God is everywhere. God's glory is everywhere. And the temptation that we have is to think that God's glory is in the nice places. We think that God is showing his glory when things are going well. How can God be working his glory in sickness when human beings go to war against each other? Yet the Bible is adamant. God is there. God is filling everything. And when he sends his son Jesus into the world, it says that Jesus descended and ascended back to the Father so that he could fill everything. And that what is going on in the church today as people believe in Jesus and receive from his Spirit is what God is doing to the whole of his creation. The church has been given the strategic role. That's what we've been put here to do. And God's will is to bring all things in creation to unity. That just as God is working to bring his church to unity, so he is working to bring together the whole of his creation. There's so many more verses that I could go on to here, but please try and grasp this, that this is a plan that's bigger than each one of us. And again, to see how big it is, look at Jesus. When God sends his son into the world, God is becoming present in the world, and yet God has always been present in this world. There's this sense that something new and seemingly impossible is happening, and it is, because this is nothing that the world had seen before. And yet God is working in the same way that he has always worked. You know, one of the temptations about doing a sermon about creation is to put together a slideshow presentation. And I was tempted for a few minutes this week to do this. You know, I'd put up a glorious mountain. I'd say, wow, isn't God amazing? And a picture of a sunset. And I would say, wow, isn't God incredible? This is our God. He made all that. And maybe a roaring lion or something like that, or some pictures of outer space. On Wednesday, we were looking at that amazing picture that was taken from behind the moon of the earth rising. Incredible picture, and saying, you know, God knew that view long before any human being did. We could do that, but actually God is present in everything. I was slightly tempted to sort of take a few more unlikely pictures to show the glory of God today. And for some reason, what I thought of, I was in Chadderton Hall Park yesterday, and by the river, because of like the flooding that happened, you know, some of the tarmac is coming off the path a bit. And I wondered about bringing in a, well, not bringing in, but showing a picture of a bit of tarmac that had fallen off the path. And I can't imagine anybody here going, wow, isn't God great? But wow, isn't God great? Because God is present there. He's present in the small things of our life. He's present in the things that we barely notice. And we were thinking last week and week past Wednesday of Moses one day noticing something unusual about a bush and going over and investigating it and realizing that God was present there and calling him to do something. The scripture emphasizes that God is present in our pain. That God is present in our difficulties. In fact, the scripture puts it so strongly, it says it's like the creation is groaning in the pains of childbirth. Yes, it's painful, but God is working something out within the pain. One verse that really struck me as I was thinking about this week was a verse from Peter's first letter, 1 Peter chapter 4, where Peter is writing to people who are struggling. People he is writing to are slaves. They are not being treated well by their masters. Some of them are being accused of things that they haven't done. And he says two things to those who are suffering. He says to them that they are to entrust their souls to a faithful creator. That at the moment that they are going through all of this pain, they are to remember that God made the world and to remember that God knew what he was doing. The other thing he tells them to do is to keep doing good, to keep seeking out what God's will is in this situation and doing it. The fact that God is present doesn't mean we have to accept the world as it is. God is working to bring about peace and love and joy in the world. That's what he calls his people to do. So when we see things that stand out against God, don't think that God is doing the evil, but see where God is standing against it so that it can change. And trust the faithful creator who knows what he is doing. The prophet Isaiah spoke to a group of people who were really discouraged and told them it was time to get moving. And he says, don't you know, haven't you heard? The Lord is the everlasting God. He is the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint. He doesn't grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. And when the Apostle Paul takes the gospel to Athens, this is one of my many favorite stories in Scripture, he realizes that these people, although they don't know the story about Jesus, although there's a lot about God that they are ignorant of, he realizes that these people still know God. And he says to them, you know, he quotes one of their own philosophers, in him we live, we move, we have our being. We live in God, all of us. Not just people who've come to church on Sunday. Everybody who's doing anything this morning lives in God. We don't just move in God because we're Christians. Everybody moves in God. We don't just have our being in God because we are Christians. Everybody has their being in God. I turned over two pages there, yeah. 1 Timothy 4, everything that God has created is good and is to be received with thanksgiving. We live in this world where God is utterly present. And he's come to us in his Son, Jesus Christ, And what I'd like us to do before we sort of finish the service this morning is to pray for each person who's here today. I'm going to pray for us that we will see where God is present in our lives at the moment. That God will open our eyes so that we can see where God is present and active within the world today. Where he's present and active in our worlds. And like Moses, perhaps, to realize that God is pointing us towards somewhere that we should be involved and where God wants to show his presence through us. And that we can go out from here and believe that the whole of the world will be filled with the glory of God. That it won't just be the great sunsets or the great waterfalls, it will be everything. So we're going to pray. So let's pray together. Father, we are in awe at your creation. Lord, in you we live. In you we move. In you we have our being, and not just us, but everybody. The whole creation. Father, we pray for each one of us here today that you'd help us to see your presence in our lives as they are at the moment. That you'd help us when things are wrong to trust our faithful Creator, just like Peter encouraged those slaves to do all those years ago. Lord, help us to see what you see. Help us to see the things that we currently don't. Help us to hear the voices that speak of you, especially those voices that speak in places where we think you probably won't speak. And Father, give us faith today, not just to believe that you are Creator, but to believe that the whole world is full of your glory. I pray you'd give us enough glimpses of this that we can see it and believe it. And so today we pray for our world. And we know that in our own country, the thing that's top of the news agenda is the coronavirus. Father, you are at work in every situation. And we pray, Lord, that you will keep us safe. Father, we pray that good will be worked through everything that's going on just now. And Lord, as we think of that, we realize there are other things being pushed off the news agenda because of coronavirus. That climate change has not stopped because there is a virus. That refugees are still on the Greek-Turkish border, living in atrocious conditions. That there's still warfare. Lord, we confess we find it so hard sometimes to see your glory, but we pray you would show us. Lord, have mercy. Lord, may there always be a place for the refugee to find a home. Lord, may there always be supplies for when there is famine. And Lord, as we confess that we have treated your creation so, so badly, Lord, we pray you would have mercy and help us to change our ways. Lord, we pray for us as a church. Lord, thank you for the opportunities that we have this week to come here on Wednesday, Thursday, and Saturday. Lord, pray that this place will be holy, not because it's a church building, but because people are seeking you. But Lord, we pray too, Lord, for workplaces that we go to, for families who we will be with, for all we serve and all who serve us, for those times we are on our own. Lord, may the ground that we walk on be holy because you are there. Let's just take a few moments of quiet. I guess many of us come this morning with our own prayers that we want to pray to the Lord today. So let's just take a moment in quiet to do that. He is here. He is listening.